Hi, everyone. It's nice to be up here. Woohoo! Seeing some fresh faces. Love it. And good old faithful faces. All right, so we want to be faithful and whatever the Lord wants to do today. I do have a message that I want to lay a foundation that a lot of us already know this, but we constantly need to preach it to ourselves. I preach to myself on a continual basis. Okay, you're going to have a drink of water and then we're going to jump in. So come Holy Spirit, as Scott has already prayed, let your kingdom come, let your will be done as it is in heaven. We just want you to be glorified. So if you want to completely change everything, that's up to you, Lord, but we belong to you. It's all yours. So we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word, when it goes out, it never comes back void. It accomplishes its purposes. So as we're in your word this morning, we're learning what our identity is in you and what you've called us to walk out for your big dream, Lord. And we are on a mission that you've created us for. So we thank you and may we catch it. I declare everyone that is here today that will catch your word and we will go forth. In the empowerment of your love, that is where our identity is, and in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and every plan and purpose that you created us for. Amen. Amen. All right, let's start in Genesis. We always got to go to Tab's favorite book to lay the foundation. All right. Then God said, let us make man in our own image and in our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, over the sea, over the birds, over the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, every creepy thing on the earth. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created male and he created female. All right, we all know that scripture, don't we? It's a very powerful scripture. It says we're made in his image. We are made in his likeness. Image is speaking about a nature and attributes and characteristics. It takes on a form of the original. What was the original? Who created us? God. And in his image, yes. And therefore, we are in his likeness, which is also the same thing, but a little more edge, similar to God, like God. We are literally his image, his copyright, but we are also referring to a responsibility and an action. Okay? Not only do we look like God, we are to act like God. I'm just laying scripture down. Right? God made you to look like him. He made you to talk like him. He made you to act like him. I preach this to me all the time. Okay? God originally created humanity to rule on his behalf. Bless the government. We are to pray for our government daily. But know who's supposed to rule? Us. God in us. The pictures we are given here right from creation is the absolute rule over all creation. Delegating his authority to mankind, we are created to be God, his gracious rule to every part of all creation. We are the answer. We are the answer. We are made in his image. We are made in his likeness. Not only that, I also believe as we are in Jesus, we're in the Father, we're in the Holy Spirit, so we are in the Godhead. We are made in the image of the full Godhead. The Godhead is a love community within themselves. So let's lay that foundation as we go into other places here. We know that they love us. We're learning their love. We're learning their love language towards us and towards them in each other. And therefore, we learn it towards others, right? The greatest, most powerful commandment. What is it in all of scripture? Most important. That's where we do everything out of. You got to do. Woo, you got the second, right? And it's powerful. As we go back in the John 17:26, he says that, Jesus says to the Father, so that your love, Father, your love that you have for me might be in them. Exactly that we love each other, okay? And then it goes on to say, you live fully in me, now I live fully in them, so they will experience that perfect unity. Scripture is so straight, isn't it? There's no compromise in Scripture. It's fullness, more than 100%. It's perfect, right? You got her. So it's powerful. As it says in Ephesians, therefore, if we are imitators of God, therefore, be imitators of God in everything you do as truly loved children. Be imitators of God in everything you do. Right? Very powerful. That means, you know, walking down the street, grocery shopping, everything you do, we are imitators of God. We live in them, they live in us, and walk our day in them daily. We bear the image, I'm going to say this tons, we bear the image and the likeness of God on the earth. You guys get it? That is why God is so happy when he smiles at you all the time. He sees you through Jesus, and he sees you in his image. He sees you in his likeness when he looks at you. When Christ died, he didn't just die for you. He died as you. Think about that. He felt every pain, everything you're going to go through. He took it all as you. I know we preach he died for you. He did. But he also died as you. That's why he understands. And when I walk through things downstairs where people are losing their children and things are going place, I had 3 deaths in the last 2 weeks. But I can say there is a God out there. He knows your pain even deeper than I know your pain. And he loves you like crazy. And he died on the cross and he felt that pain for you. And he wants to walk with you. He wants to hold you. He's in those darkest shadow valley moments. That's the God we have. That is no religion. Because we have a world out there, honey, that needs Jesus. And we're the answer. And God died so that we would go out there, live a lifestyle, and change the atmosphere because of who Christ is inside of us. Little things. Just a simple thing yesterday. I was at the grocery store, of course, running late to meet somebody here because I stop when God sets somebody in front of me. And I was just running in to get water for coldest night of the year. I run into one of my old friends, actually high school, yeah. We did drugs together, right? So I haven't seen him in a long time. He works down at Food Basics. And he goes, hey, I haven't seen you for a while. And I said, I haven't seen you either. You know, I haven't been around the Food Basic. He goes, well, I had a stroke. I said, you had a stroke? And then my compassionate heart rised up in him. And I said, buddy, I said, you know, God's calling you, right? He has a plan and purpose for you. This is a serious wake-up call. He just knows me from my past, right? So, and I said, Lord, show yourself to him. Now, he's one of the main managers down there, right? So we didn't have a lot of time. And he goes, oh, man. He goes, you know what happened? He says, actually, just before it happened, I looked up and he was married. And he's divorced now, but he had a picture of stars or something when he proposed to his wife. And it was a beautiful moment. And he looked up at this picture he had in his room and he saw an angel. And I said, see, the God who created you and loves you is drawing you in. Said, I'll be back. I got to go. But I'm praying for you because he loves you. And it's time to search your heart and know the one who created you with his plan and purpose. That took not even 10 minutes, you know. But, you know, it's just stopping and releasing Jesus wherever we are. So we bear the image and likeness of God. That is why, again, God is so happy when he sees us. He died as us. But we also resurrect as him. Amen. Come on, dunamis power. We resurrect as him. We walk in a new life. Every time I choose my new life in the Holy Spirit, I'm letting go of the old life. I have to say, as I teach this downstairs, I kept saying letting go of my old man. I mentioned this to you the other day. And everybody was so confused. They, why is she letting go of George? I don't get this. Like, it's not a church group, right? So it's just so funny. They're talking to each other like, what? I'm like, no, my sinful nature before I walked with Christ. Anyhow, so again, we are in his image and we're in his likeness. That is why Satan hates seeing us. He hates seeing us because he sees the image of Christ and he sees the likeness of God and he hates us. And I would even say Satan, because of that, he even sees our potential more than we do sometimes. Right? I'm not here to glorify him whatsoever. I'm just telling you. Right? We are God's prototype on earth, and Satan's out to destroy that image, but we have complete authority. Complete, that's what Jesus, and I'm going to go into that more. Woohoo! As we get a clap back there. I want to say, so there's two things we're really designed for, and that's the two scriptures we just, well, love the Lord. So we are designed to walk with God in intimacy, right? That's where our identity is. Not in a ministry, praise God. They walked in the cool of the day. To the degree that we love Jesus is the degree we will live the life to its fullness. It's true. It's true. And I want to tell you, where I go in intimacy with the Lord, I go in lordship first. I go to lordship first. Then I go into that intimate place with him. Yes, he's my lover, he's my everything, but he is number one, my Lord. He's number one, my Lord. And the more I give him lordship, the more he's glorified. And I get to live the purpose and plans he created me for. Woo! Get a little shouted, I love it. So, second, we are to manage and work the garden God has given us to rule. Bring kingdom of God to the garden. You know what the garden is?
It's not a trick question.
It's the earth. It's the earth. Right? We already covered this. It's the earth. There's a sphere of influence in society that we are called to bring the kingdom of God to. Okay? There's a sphere that we go together and there's a sphere individually we will have to go to. It says in Ephesians 2:10, we have become his poetry. Now this is the Passion Translation, but I like it. So we have become his poetry to be recreated people that we will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the one. Even before we are born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would fulfill. This implies that the good works makes up our destiny that he calls us for, and we yield to our God prearranged destiny that comes, and therefore he then rewards us simply by doing what he has already put in us to accomplish. Ah, he rewards us for something he's already put in us to accomplish. Such a good God we have, eh? We are his sons and we are his daughters entrusted with a responsibility. We have a job to do and given a full destiny from God to fulfill. God has a dream. We have a mission, right? We are to reap the harvest and bring back the reward of the harvest of souls back to Father God's feet. You are his harvest, but we got a huge harvest out there. Amen. What we want to do with our society is cause them to return to their father, our father, their father, to their original image to be restored before it's too late. I'm living in that. That's where I live. My last friend that just died this week, I just saw her a week ago. And I didn't have that last moment with her. Oh, God's faithful, hopefully someone else did. But the reality, I don't know if I'm going to see them the next day. And God created them with a plan and a purpose, and I need to be faithful. I'm not here preaching turn and burn. I believe in it. There's a real hell. There is a real hell, boys and girls. And people are going there. And we need to do something about that. Out of love and compassion, because love is the key that opens every door. It gets under the door. It's like water. We need to let them know and encounter the God that loves them, has a plan and purpose for them. However that lands, at least we're faithful. When I know one of my brothers and sisters have died downstairs and I've had my moment with them, I have peace. It's all in God's hands. But we need to be prompted by the Holy Spirit to stop. I understand it. I got tasks in my life, right? But God is number one. As we are genuinely walking in his love for God that flows a genuine love out of us, having people, the reality of souls, for that was the scripture, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross to set the captives free and to lead many souls to glory. Many, many. I don't know if someone's going to give their life to the Lord, but I'm telling you, I'm sure going to share his love with them. Right? It's what we're called to do. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish. So I'm going to share it. He could work out the rest, right? And we are to disciple. That's very important. We're getting there. So Satan thought he had Jesus defeated, but Jesus was just producing himself in all of us. In all of us. Woohoo! We are something beyond words incredible. We literally are God's image in his likeness on earth. You are his image, guys. If you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Lord and then Savior, you are his image. You are his likeness. Jesus does not have to come back to rule the earth. He rules it through you. Through you. Cultivating our sphere of influence and causing Jesus to reign where we are. Our identity, again, and our belonging is in our love relationship with the Godhead. Our destiny and our purpose is always connected to others. Others. So when Christians go around telling me they don't like people, that doesn't sit scriptural with me. Right? We can go into that, but I'm not going right now. But it is connected to others. Always posturing our heart towards people that are in front of us every day. I read a quote yesterday, right? Tomorrow is gone. Well, how are that words? That day back there is gone, and this one coming ahead is ahead, but we need to live today. Our destiny's today, right? We have to see people according to their potential and not their present state. Amen, right? That's where we need to hear God. Lord, show me how you see this person. Why you died on the cross for this person. It is God's nature that he walks with people, and so much are we. We are to focus on what they're becoming in him, not who they are right now. Again, God loves doing the walk and the process. It's about the journey. We need to rejoice in the journey in people's lives. It's not this outcome and this. I mean, we rejoice in that, but we walk in the journey. We rejoice in the journey. We cannot even begin to talk about reaching people if we do not have the revelation of what God thinks about him. This is a truth. When we don't know the value, why something exists, sometimes we usually abuse it, right? My son didn't abuse the first car I gave him. He was pretty good, but I'll tell you, he takes care of his own car he bought. You know, when you've invested and you know the value of what God has done for that person, you know, it's like when the guys break into my trailer and they steal my stuff and they're, right? Moments. But then I'm just like, but I do it unto the Lord. I don't do it unto them. And then if I do it unto the Lord, he sets me free of Christine Lacatus. And if I'm set free from Christine Lacatus, I'm set free from you. And therefore his love then pours out above that situation. It's not built on a ministry of me. It's built on a ministry of him. I do it unto him. And you'll keep getting tested about that. That's for sure. Right? In Philippians, it says 2:4-5, put yourself aside, help others to get ahead. Don't be so set on yourself in your own ventures. Set yourself aside long enough to lead a hand to someone else. Think of yourself the way Jesus thought. Jesus had equal status with God, but did not cling to the advantage of that status. No matter what, he set aside even his privilege of his deity and took on the state of a slave, became a human, selfless humanity. That is our example. That is our example. And then let's get closer. What do I got? Another 25 minutes? Okay, an hour. Okay, then Jesus in Matthew 28. We all know the scripture, but let's go for it again. I know you guys have spoken many times up here. Then Jesus came close and said, "All authority of the universe has been given to me." Here we go. He does it again. All authority. All. Not a portion. All authority of the universe has been given to me. Now, wherever you go, make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I've commanded you. Never forget that I'm with you every day, even the completeness of this age to the end of the age. That is such a powerful scripture. We could be teaching on that for months and then walking it out and teaching it. But all authority in heaven has been given to us, and it is purchased by Jesus' blood. Therefore, God has a dream, he has a passion, and he has a desire. And we are have a mission as his sons and daughters. We are princes and princesses bought by the bloodline of Jesus. We are princes and princesses bought by the bloodline of Jesus. What do princes and princesses rule in? All authority. All authority says, it's Greek and I probably can't say it properly, exousis. I'll get somebody that likes that stuff. Power to act, have dominion, and liberty. That's what that means. I like what it means. The power to act, to have dominion and liberty. You have a right to rule. God has established the kingdom of God so that wherever you go, God gave us Jesus for the exchange of the whole earth. God gave us Jesus for the exchange of the whole earth. In Luke 10, 19, it says, "Now you understand that I have imparted to you my authority to trample over the kingdom, to trample over his kingdom." That's Satan's kingdom. "You will trample upon every demon before you. You will overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will harm you as you walk in my authority." Wow. Wow. That's a powerful scripture. We get that revelation. We need to. It's scriptural, guys. This is our foundation. This is what God has given us. Victory, victory. We are expected to rule on earth as he rules in heaven. We must exercise the rights to do so. I wonder sometimes when we don't exercise these rights in love, that we are that clinging symbol. I'm telling you, it wakes me up at night. I have the fire that burns in me.
Freedom.
Coming in Jesus' name is literally coming in the power of attorney. You guys know about the power of attorney, right? The power of it is that we literally come in proxy in behalf of that person. We have complete legal right. When you come in my name, of his name, in the right situations, you have the complete authority to walk as him. That is why demons are driven out. All authority in heaven on earth has been given to us. We walk in his image and likeness. We have the right to do this in his name. Therefore, I put demands on myself all the time to get the same results that Jesus does. I do. If I have that authority, when I pray for somebody or I'm walking out, I put a demand on myself that I have the same authority that Jesus does. Am I wrong? I don't want to explain my life when I die. Or other people, I guess, will be explaining my life when I die. Right? If I step out, I'm not going to do the miracle. even though he says, go out and do the miracle. I release the miracle. He's the one that has to do the healing, right? Even though he says, go out and heal the sick. But I have to go out and speak to whatever's going on in that person's body, whatever the situation is, right? But he's the one that's got to do it. But I can't live on my own means to try to figure this out. That is not faith, right? We do not sign up. Get this one. We do not sign up to be in ministry. We sign up to be in Jesus. Woohoo! Amen. We have an obligation to the Lord. We have an obligation to the world around us. To live his big dream, a dream that only he could fulfill as we step out. There's something about God's nature as a father that can only be realized through the fulfillment of this big dream that he's created for us. God's heart is then revealed for all to see. And when we totally devote to God's dream, the redemptive work of Jesus will then become famous. I want his work famous and what he did for us. But we need to devote ourselves to scripture and know who we are in Christ. In love. In love. Again, we must know who we are. We must take his authority. We must take his ownership and his kingdom that comes through us. He wants us to gather up every sphere of society, every realm of life, and he needs you. He needs us. He needs me. He needs all of us to go do it. I can't touch people that you guys can touch. I don't have the gifting that you guys have. We need each other. Jesus bought it. He wants us to go claim it. Jesus bought our friends. Jesus bought our family. He bought our homeless friends. He brought our friends that struggles with addiction. He bought the business world. He bought the students. He's bought the seniors. He's bought them all. There's not one more thing Jesus can do. Not one more thing. It's us jumping in to know who we are in him. And walking in our identity, our likeness, the image, and authority, and dominion in his name. His blood bought it all. Jesus, it's all. God, Jesus did it. He exchanged it all. It is his big dream. And then he also says, disciple nations. I believe that also means culture. We've seen a lot of change in our culture. There's a lot of identity struggle out there. This is more than just evangelism. I know I'm like, Christine, the evangelist here. This is more than evangelism. I love outreach. I love serving people. This is a lifestyle. This is who we are. The word is actually talking about bringing an entire different culture and setting the values of the kingdom on our earth. Right? He said, teach them my ways. Disciple the nations. The Lord's Prayer. What does it say? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Powerful. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Again, in Jesus' image and his likeness and his authority and in his own name of ownership, we step out living the dream, bringing the souls to him, walking in signs and wonders. I want to say this too. I believe, yes, when we don't walk in the characters, we all struggle. We're all growing. We're all muscles, right? Salvation's like muscle. We're growing. You know, but there's times I grieve the Holy Spirit when my character doesn't always line up. But we also quench the Holy Spirit, right, when we don't walk in the power that he's put within us. It is my failure not to cooperate in that divine activity that he's put in me to walk in. We need the kingdom principles. We need the Holy Spirit power to bring about transformation to our culture around us. Did you guys get all that? It's powerful. Matthew 10:8, you must continually bring healing. Oh, you must bring healing once in a while. Again, scripture again. You must continually bring healing. to the leopards, to those who are sick, and make your habit to break off all demonic presence from people and raise the dead back to life. Freely I have received, freely I've given to you the power of the kingdom. So now again, so freely receive it and give it to others. That's Matthew 10:8. Wow. I'm working on raising the dead. Prayed over some bodies. I had one guy, the only guy ever overdosed on my property. Sorry, he's not alive anymore. Really cared about him, but he didn't die then. He was dead. We went out and prayed for him and declared his life to come back. And he came back and I was able to share the gospel with him. Unfortunately, a month later, he died. But I was able to bring him back to life with my other friends that were decreeing. And then we shared the gospel with him. Whew. Kingdom truths that we also need to walk out in. Right? We should be teaching heavenly values and truths such as love, joy, peace. That has the power to restore a society from a place of chaos to a place of kingdom order in its proper place. Kingdom truths of honesty, integrity, forgiveness, holiness, selflessness. People are blown away. You know, we teach forgiveness so much downstairs, right? But people don't always get it. Well, they did this to me. They deserve that. You know, so we go deep. We do some very deep forgiveness, especially when parents have had their children taken out. It's hard. We're living the real thing. I mean, we're living the real thing. So we teach these things. We watch God go to some deep places. Many values of the kingdom of God we are to walk out. That's our mission, to take the principles of the kingdom, to bring Jesus, bring his justice, his judgment in the spirit of truth. Now, when I say judgment, I'm not talking about John and James that want to call down fire on people, okay? You know those brothers. Again, it's about bringing order to which was in chaos. So every time we function in the opposite spirit that is coming in front of us, then we actually judge that opposite spirit to the kingdom. So for example, downstairs, we try to give out in abundance, okay? We give out food in abundance. You know, I'm pushing it constantly. Give out clothes in abundance. And when we do that, we're judging the spirit of poverty. Do you understand? We're moving in the opposite spirit. Then we judge the spirit that's behind it. I love when people come to me and says, oh my gosh, look all the stuff you give us. I love it, right? Because I want to come against that orphan spirit. I want to come against that poverty spirit, right? So we need to judge it by moving out in abundance. We are establishing the rule and righteousness of the kingdom. As a business person, you choose to do business in honesty while others are cutting corners, committing fraud. You have judged the spirit of greed and dishonesty. Do you understand what I'm saying? We walk with kingdom principles in our places of work, everywhere we go. Simple thing. I know in our family, a lot of times, I love it that, you know, from paying for the guy behind me for Tim Hortons and you drive away really fast, you know, but you probably just made that person's day. Those are just simple principles, but they're powerful. You're changing the atmosphere. I also want to say the touch of God when I see is on a person when they live a lifestyle of giving out. You know, we judge that spirit of consumerism. Jesus in the early church loved God. They loved life and they were consumed by the love of God and they reached out to a lost world. Jesus was not a consumer. He multiplied bread, fish, through thankfulness. Everything Jesus did was multiply life and life more, brought healing and restoration. Everything he did, he gave away. More of himself, even to death on the cross, because it was his joy before us to endure it for us. He was not a consumer. I'm sorry, guys, you're not here to build your kingdom on earth. You're not. You're here to build his kingdom for you on earth. I'm great to say to all of us, we're all going to stand before him. I'm going to stand before him, and there's none of you guys going to be around, my husband or my children. And I want him to say, good, faithful servant. And that I learned to love people with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength as I received his love. As I ponder, and believe me, I got to do it a lot of times. And even when I'm downstairs, I got to go back out and ponder. Right? We all do. I need to receive his love. And when I'm filled up and, you know, or keep calling it into existence, then I'm able to love others. That's my foundation. We are, in Ephesians 2:10, again, God's people fulfilling the destiny has given us with his plans in advance for us to walk out. When we align ourselves to everything I just said, what did I say? In his image, in his likeness, in his dominion, in his rule, right? Authority. And I already got our foundation, okay? I'm not here preaching that right now, but that is our foundation. All right, don't forget, I'm pretty sure it's been well preached here, our foundation of his love, right? That's our identity. We walk in that, and then there's heavenly primary purposes God has given us. And I'm going to slowly end, I'm getting there. So there's a role of influence that God puts on everybody's life, okay? There's giftings God has given us, and he increases. It's like when we're in this realm, like look, Tab and Kylie and others, they're called for children. I love children, don't get me wrong, and I can walk in that authority, but I'm called other places. I'm assigned other places. Yes, I do minister to children, but you know what I'm trying to say, right? There's certain realms. Like, I'm not going to walk in Scott's house and start taking authority. That's his realm. That's his authority. I mean, I have authority as he releases it. You know, I have the most power to pray for my children because they're my children. Now, when other people pray, it's powerful too, but it's my realm. It's my authority. Does that make sense? So Paul talks about your realm and your authority in the Bible. He says in 2 Corinthians 2:13-14 says, but we are those who choose to limit our boasting to only the measure of the work to which God has appointed us, our sphere given to us. Paul is saying that he likes to stay within his lane. He knew his limits in the measure of spiritual authority God had given him. That by the way he was reaching, so he wouldn't go into another man's territory. Okay? Since you are within our assignment, he says in verse 14, limits, we did not overstep our boundaries of authority by being the first to announce to you the wonderful news of the Anointed One. So there is a place, like, because I'm downstairs, I've given authority, and other people say, how come they listen to you more than me? And the reality is God is giving me that realm. I'm just saying it, right? So therefore, when I pray, and I pray, I declare no one even comes on our property without having a living encounter with Jesus. I decree that all the time. It's a radical prayer, but he died for it, so I'm going to pray it and decree it out. I command everything that doesn't exalt the Lord Jesus Christ that has to be bound up before it can even come on this property, right? I release as it is in heaven. I have authority to do that. I do it on my knees before I do it on my feet. That's where we should be first. And even Jesus, when the lady came to him and he said it wasn't his time to minister to the Gentiles. And the lady came to him. Jesus said to the Gentile woman, I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus was free to work anywhere with anyone, but he knew his specific assignment and his measurement at the time was for the lost Jews of Israel. Obviously, he ministered to Gentiles. We know that. So I'm saying the ultimate authority is given to us, but you're going to see more favor when you're walking in that sphere God has given you and that gifting God has given you. Things just seem easier, right? There's a scripture that talks about doing things with a dull axe. It's 10:10, Ecclesiastes. You know, when we're in, it's not like we're not called to do tasks that are not fun sometimes, right? But the reality is we're stuck where we're supposed to be. It is a lot easier, right? It's hard, but it's, you know, it's like when I do stuff with Kylie and she's doing and all these wonderful words for the grants. I praise the Lord. It's not me. It's not my gifting. I mean, if I had to press into it, but it would take me 5 hours, what takes her 10 minutes. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not that I can't do it, but we're all got different giftings and strengths and different spheres, and hallelujah, that's all I can say. So not saying that a time that we are to do this, but we should know and we wait on the Lord to see where he is leading us. Because we have to be, you know, I want to say within that sphere, it's like three circles. You know, you have your gifting, you have your God-given assignment in your sphere. And when that middle, the three circles meet in the middle, that's like your sweet spot, right? So God has, he has every one of you with a gift. He has every one of you with an assignment. And assignments might change. Before I was doing stuff at our home, I was really praying with the intercessors in my house and still doing outreaches and stuff. Simon's my chain. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be here for the rest of my life. I don't know. My life belongs to him. I don't know what tomorrow looks like, you know, but assignments change. And he might change me to minister to different people. I don't know. But whatever sphere he puts me in, that's where I got to stay. And that's where I take my ground. I'm called to manage it and bring kingdom principles. So God has good works for all us to do in advance, something he has put within us. And then I'm going to end with some questions, and then we're going to go into something else. Whatever's a burning heart passion that you find that you have in your life, that is usually something he's put within you. A sense of an injustice that constantly stirs in you to action. It may also be a sign of assignment, of an influence that he's put within you. Right? Just, oh, you know that, oh, right? Right? Oh, so it's true. So where you have had the greatest success with the least amount of efforts, where do you feel most alive? What people most captivate your heart? What doors consistently open for you that may not open for others because it's for you? What decisions are easier for you to make? Some of these questions can help you reveal the sphere of influence that God has put in your life, places where you will find your greatest authority and influence. Because we are called to go out in society. We are called to manage, rule with dominion, with his image and in his likeness. So wherever we go, they come in contact with us. It comes in contact with the culture of heaven. Does that make sense, guys? We are supposed to be uprooting systems that are keeping people enslaved and replacing them with systems of righteousness of the kingdom of God with his values that go out into society. Amen? Right? That is God's dream, and we are created in his image to walk in that, know our authority. We should be expecting to have the same results as Jesus. I think of Catherine Coleman. I watched her a while, but someone told me they're waiting. Not someone, I heard it in teaching. Said that they're waiting on the Lord about her secrets. And the Lord said she was always one that so honored the Holy Spirit. It didn't matter if she was on stage, walking down the airport, wherever she was stop and honor the Holy Spirit. And she was always expecting on the Holy Spirit, expecting on him to move. That's where I should be expecting to have the same results as Jesus, because he died on the cross so that we would have the same results. So out of that, guys, we are going to walk into a ministry time. We've had some words, and I don't know all the words that have came in, but let's lay a foundation. Guys, Jesus loves you, as we know. He thought of you before the foundation of the earth. He has a plan and purpose that he wants to see you walk out in, that you've been created for. So let's start with salvation. Can we say, Lord Jesus, I am learning More and more, I was created to be in your image, in your likeness. You have a plan and purpose for me. And I know you have made me with you to walk that out. So I choose now to receive your love, your life, and everything you did for me as you died as me, so that I can say yes to you. So I declare to make you Lord of my life. I call you as my Savior, and I give you all of me. I ask for complete forgiveness from all my sins, and I give it all to you. And I declare you not just a little Lord, but full Lordship in my life. Amen. Now let's do the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, I know I cannot live my life by my own means. I need your empowerment to have the expectations the way Jesus walked life to live out inside of me. So I choose now to receive the baptism in the empowerment of you, Holy Spirit, to fill my life everywhere in completeness and fullness. And I thank you that I am now your shepherd and I hear your voice. All right. Amen.